Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us open our meeting here this morning with a singing of hymn 198. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Let us give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. Hymn 198. Before we hear our much-needed word of exhortation, let us sing together hymn 275. Begone, unbelief, our Saviour is near, and for our relief will surely appear. The rough winds may wrestle, our God will perform. With Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. Hymn 275.
Thank you. Now my pleasure to ask Brother Carl
to lead us in our word of exhortation.
Well, good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. It's so good to see so many of you and new faces as well. And I don't believe you have travelled all this way to hear me. I think there's another great occasion happening, I believe, next weekend. But it makes me feel good anyway. But my dear brethren and sisters, what I would like to do this morning is for us to remember some words that I heard of not so long ago. And I want us to try and remember them if we can. And these are the words. I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. Let me repeat those. I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. Now, these words that I've just spoken to you about were written back in the World War II. And these words were actually found written on a wall of a concentration camp. And they were also written by an unknown Jew. It is not known, this Jew, if they were male or female, and we do not know if they were young and old. But nevertheless, those words were found etched into that wall. Now, don't those words now come alive when we understand who had written them? And don't those words become even more moving and make the heart fill with such emotion and with great sadness? For myself, dear brothers and sisters, I cannot understand how anyone, no, not anyone, who can find such strength and ability under such extreme circumstances and a dangerous situation to write words such as this on that wall. For I feel within those words we find such great power and belief for what is said, for there is so much certainty within those words. Now, my dear brethren and sisters, as I said, I actually heard these words way back the beginning of this year, when we have marked the 70th year of the end of the Second World War. And it's 70 years since the troops of the Red Army liberated Auschwitz. And I heard of accounts from the survivors of this very moment. And one actually describes that first sight of the army, the soldiers on horseback, who threw some very strange but embarrassing glances at the sprawled bodies, at the battered huts, and at those who were still found alive. And these words at this memorial were read out. I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God when he is silent. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, these words that I've read out to you have stuck with me, and I can tell you this now, have stuck with me every day since. And they have actually become like a mini prayer to me. And that is why I wanted to share them with you. For I feel that we can all find something within these words, some sort of exhortation, some sort of lesson from what was written, what was etched on that wall. But let me just change direction here for a moment, so please bear with me, for there is something else that has been playing on my mind. And it is a saying that we hear of sometimes, that the pen is mightier than the sword, and I hope you may have heard it. Well, the pen is mightier than the sword has fascinated me, How can something that we write with have more power and strength than any weapon that can be cause harm to someone else? I can think of many people in my lifetime who have caused great pain in human lives by using weapons of their own gain and gratification. And we all remember them by their actions, that their sword worked for them. And my dear brethren and sisters, we only have to think over the last week of the sadness that we have yet again seen of another gunman. But if I carry on, I will only depress you, and I will depress myself as well. And this is where I have to stop. This is where I have to stop and think. Where has the pen been mightier than the sword? For there are many polls that are taken in this country, seeing what is the most powerful book that you need to read. And that list is endless. We have such books as Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl. We have the most wonderful complete works of William Shakespeare. And all these books will not be forgotten. But maybe straight away, you're thinking of our Bible. That thing that is sitting on our laps or beside us in all shapes and forms. The Bible to us, dear brethren and sisters, is the number one in all our lists. Well, isn't that book the extreme example that we have where the pen has become mightier than anything else? Through its pages, dear brethren and sisters, we can find all the lessons that we will ever need. From all the different walks of life, from all the different situations that anyone has found themselves in, from all the trials, from all the tests, to the victories, the conquerors of faith, from the darkest of days to the brightest of lives. We have them all within those pages. The pen that was given to those who wrote this book is a reference book that anyone needs. And as from an infant you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, through faith in Christ Jesus, all Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may thoroughly be equipped for every good work. But what does it mean to us, though? The Bible means so many different things to each one of us here in this room. As we try to walk through life as a Christian, but we see within the passages and its pages, and throughout the years, the verses, don't they become more precious to us all? When I was in Sunday school many, many years ago, I remember a class, and we were asked a question. What one verse, yes, what one verse from the Bible would we try and keep, to hold on to remember in our happiest of days, our most joyous of days, in the darkest and the unhappiest times of our lives? What one verse would we keep? Well, what a fascinating and absorbing question that is. Well, if I was to ask you right now, what would your verse be? We would have such a different and diverse array of answers. But also knowing that within each one of our verses, we would find hope, and we would find peace. And if we put all those together, we would end up with something very powerful indeed as a collective. When it came to the end of my schooling in the fifth year, yet again, that was a long time ago, it was custom at our school to gather as many signed names as possible of those in your year and of your teachers, to get those names in books or on photographs or whatever you can find. Sadly, one of my school friends thought it would be a good idea to use his Bible, the Bible that he was given when he was in the first year. He used his Bible to collect all the signatures and names and the wishes. And it was written all across the pages of the Bible. All the fifth years were called into the hall by the request of the headmaster. Well, we all thought as we marched into that hall that he was going to give us a goodbye speech to wish us luck on our journeys away from school. My dear brothers and sisters, how wrong we were. My headmaster had got hold of that said Bible, and he gave us all a very hard-hitting lecture on the importance of that book. And in no way, he told us, in no way should it be used in such a way or defaced, telling us that what we had was the most important book that we would ever own. Well, I can tell you now, I have never forgotten that lesson. Well, maybe you, sitting here, can remember when the Bible became the most important thing in your lives. And throughout our lives, don't we find it very difficult and even challenging to change or to give away our Bibles? And how these books have become very close to each one of us. The pen is indeed mightier than any sword. We live in a country in so-called peace, where we are able to come here in this very bright place without any trouble or anxiety. And we say, don't we, we're away from the world at this moment in time. Well, is that true? Don't we find it very difficult sometimes to come here without that trouble or anxiety that we have? It's hard sometimes, the trials and the weaknesses that we have to overcome, the daily mistakes that we seem to weigh us down, that sometimes we do bring the world inside here in front of our Lord. But do we really understand? Do we really understand that feeling when it is morning that we wish that it was night, and when it is night we wish it was morning? My dear brothers and sisters, what we always have to do is to take comfort and the security when we take this bread and this wine. So let me just go back to those words that was written on that wall. I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God even when he is silent. Well, let's break these words down bit by bit for a short moment, starting with that I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. Because we will find peace within those words, especially on the day like today when that sun is shining through there. For each one of us in this room knows that there is a sun. Even don't we, as Brits, who forever are discussing the weather, who are always complaining about the weather, about it being either too cold, too hot, and where has our summer gone? And that thought of winter just around the corner. But the belief that there is a sun is a powerful thing. Some of us know that wonderful feeling when we take to the air in a plane. We leave that cloud-covered earth behind and we head straight into another world above all that. And we are greeted with the sight of a pure, brilliant blue sky, with the sun shining down upon the plain. And the view of what is below is something very much different. My dear brothers and sisters, we have all seen the wonders of the sun as it rises in the morning. We've all seen the display of the magnificent and the breathtaking colours. My dear brothers and sisters, we have all seen the sun as it sets with the astonishing peacefulness and beauty. And we have all felt that warmth that the sun gives each one of us. My dear brothers and sisters, we only have to realise that it is what God promised to all of us. But, my dear brothers and sisters, how can someone say in their darkest of days and written on that wall that I believe in a sun even when it is not shining? Well, maybe that is the very first lesson for us this morning as we sit here. Just let us consider that sun that is outside these walls and what it means to us. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he made the stars as well. God set them in the vault of the skies to give them light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning. So whatever the weather is doing, if we can see it, or if we're hidden from it, let us trust in its brightness of that sun. That safekeeping in the knowledge that it is always there, marking the seasons for each one of us. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. Well, let's take wisdom and shelter in these words. For this can be quite difficult to try to explain what love is. And when we think of that unknown Jew who had written those words on that wall, and when we come to understand what they must have faced every single day of their lives within that camp, that there was no love for them, and they must have felt what hatred was like. But what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. That is what our love should be. But what about God's love? Let's consider God's love. And Psalms puts it beautifully, Psalm 36. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of delight. For you is the fountain of life. Your light, we see light. Continual your love to those who know you. Your righteousness to the upright in heart. When we consider the love that God has poured out to us, brings us to those wonderful lines that are written on the wall. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Which to me is the most significant and poignant line that was etched. To be able to believe in a God when being faced with the darkest of trials, seeing that there could be no way out, but to put faith in him, knowing that there is a plan, even when you cannot see yourself. Now that takes great strength, takes great attitude. And when we think that our Heavenly Father is silent to us in our lives, it only needs for us to look at his creation. It only needs for us to look at the smallest things to the greatest things, to recognize and to realize the majesty and his greatness of his hands. And we, dear brethren and sisters, we have to grasp his love with both of our hands. And we have to recognize what he has done. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What does our elder brother tell us? He tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So let me now finish, because we're about to take these emblems. For we're about to remember someone who believed without any doubt that there was the promise of the Son, that our heavenly brother believed in supreme love, and he lived a life and was crucified and was raised again because of his belief in his Father. So let us think of those words one more. I believe in the sun when it is not shining. I believe in love even when it is not there. And I believe in God even when he is silent. For you need to remember, dear brothers and sisters, that there will come a day where there will be complete sunshine, that there will come a day when there will be complete happiness, there will be complete joy and love, and more importantly, dear brothers and sisters, there will be a day of peace.
Our meeting to a close through a word of prayer from Brother John, please, after you have sung together hymn number 121. A rose shall bloom in a lonely place. A wild shall echo with sounds of joy. From heaven's own gladness its bounds shall grace, and forms angelic their songs employ. Hymn 121.